This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael Kirkpatrick. Normally, this is where we kind of do the stock watch after the weekend that was, and we'll do some of that. But I'm just seeing the Christian Brown thing. We just talked about it. Christian Brown and the Nuggets have agreed to a 5-year, $125 million extension. It's about 25 a year. It's not quite to that Michael Porter Jr. level, but it's a big investment. And a guy who's pretty good, there's still room to get better, but that kind of deal means that you view him as a pretty significant part of the future. Buy or sell, this was a good idea by the Nuggets, who just got out of a really rough contract situation with Michael Porter Jr. Got out of it, though. I'm going to buy it. I like Christian Brown. I'm leery of it. I'm skeptical, but I'm gonna buy it. Buy or sell? Stock watch edition now. Stock up or down on the Wyoming Cowboys? Made it close against Air Force, but Air Force, that was their first conference win of the season. How's their stock looking to you, Mike?
Down.
Yeah, it's pretty down. Pretty down.
CSU? I wouldn't say the Air Force's stock is.
No.
Much higher either.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I'd say
the one thing Air Force had going for them was the offense, and they only put up 24, and I know it's still like whatever. It's not a low amount, but that was kind of the only saving grace for Air Force. But they did win.
They did win, but isn't Wyoming's defense pretty darn respected?
Pretty darn good. I think that was the worst the offense has looked for Air Force.
Yeah, and you put up 24 points against a respectable defense. Air Force's stock, to me, stays the same.
Kind of feels like that. How about CSU? Did the stock go up a little bit? It's not going to be Tyson Summers' job to lose, but they do now. They can now get ahead of the game a little bit and start their. They can interview. I mean, they can interview these fired coaches. They can start talking to people now. And what that looks like to the future. So does that mean the stock went up, removing Jay Norvell? Did the stock go up for CSU? Or is it really bad because you don't have a head coach right now?
I think they've given up on the season. So
oh, yeah. Huh.
A lot of people have been selling their stock for... It can only get better.
I think... We'll see, man. That's a very interesting stock up or down for UNC. Kept it close against a very good Sac State team. Had a chance to win it late. Actually did score the go-ahead touchdown, but it was called back because Braden Monroe was out of bounds first and then stepped back in.
Stock in their quarterback is down.
Yeah.
He was not accurate on Saturday night.
It was very...
He probably should have had a couple more interceptions.
Yeah, it was very unlike him from what we've seen this season. He threw four interceptions.
That and also a couple of those touchdowns probably should have been picked off if the Sac State defenders hadn't jumped
Carver
too early.
Cheeks, yeah, those two, they looked like the exact same. When you hit Carver Cheeks on the side, and that ball just goes over the corner's head. That happened twice, and they mistimed it. That's a pick. But good on Carver Cheeks to keep his concentration and end up...
And he threw the ball short, too. Like it was Carver Cheeks had to reach for it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Good for him. He made a lot of plays. Look, you're bound to have one of those bad games. This was the one game I was able to watch all the way through, the UNC game I was able to watch all the way through. A lot of fun, scrappy team, as the color guy for Sacramento State said. I was impressed by them. They had some bad plays on defense, but I think Stock is up. Even though they lost, even though the quarterback have a great day, Stock is up.
They've just had a lot of games, though, and this is a good problem to have. They've been in every game. They're 3-4 now, but every game has been pretty much a one-score kind of game. Every game has. And except for their win, they beat Idaho 49-33. How about this for Carver Cheeks with that monster game he had? This is from Brooke over at UNC. Thank you for this. This is the second highest single game receiving yards total in Northern Colorado's Division I era and fourth all time. Carver Cheeks had over
Vincent Jackson
200 yards. Yeah. 9 receptions for 223 yards and 3 touchdowns. Think they're glad he stuck around?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I bet they're smiling from cheek to cheek.
Yeah, good one, Michael. So the Bears lose. That was tough. The biggest story, really, well, the Broncos comeback was phenomenal. 33 points in the fourth quarter, Michael. That was amazing. Here, Sean Payton had some comments about this, about the game and just kind of sticking with it. I don't know if we have it. Just give me the signal. Okay, here's Sean Payton after the game yesterday.
We'll go to questions. Obviously, kind of a crazy back and forth game when you got later into that game. We struggled for at least 2/3 of the game offensively. They hit some big plays on us defensively. I was proud we fought to get back in it. It's like we had to find a way to clean up our mess. So I told them, look, enjoy this. There's some grit there. They didn't quit. But, man, it's important we don't let the euphoria of a win like that cloud the things that need to get cleaned up tomorrow. So they'll enjoy it tonight, but there are a lot of things that we're still doing, particularly offensively, that trouble me. And we'll get it fixed. We have to get it fixed.
Yeah, those kind of wins can be really awesome when it doesn't feel like you deserved the win and you got outplayed 90% of that game. Offense went to sleep for 3 quarters, and then suddenly something just went off. Seeing Bo Nix in space like that, I don't know how you create it, just make it happen. That was fun suddenly. This offense was so freaking boring, and they haven't been really fun this whole season. That was exciting in that fourth quarter. So you get away with a win when you didn't feel like you played very well. That was huge. It was a big weekend for the Broncos as you had your Super Bowl 50 team there, also honoring Demaryius Thomas, getting him up on the Ring of Fame. Peyton Manning was emotional. The Ring of Honor. Did I say Ring of Fame again, Michael? Is it Ring of Honor?
I think it's Ring of Honor.
Okay, well, you think? I thought you were my Broncos expert back there.
The Ring of Honor is a little thing that they do. Yeah.
Okay, I was asking if it was Ring of Fame or Ring of Honor. And you think it's Ring of Fame or Ring of Honor, right? We got that?
Yeah.
It was a big weekend, though. Emotional weekend for, obviously, the family of the Broncos and for Demaryius Thomas' family. Katina Smith spoke, DT's mom. Let's just play it. Here it is.
Yeah, that smile has took me through some very hard times. I'm sorry. Yeah, and it was like I wanted to touch his face again because, you know, the last time I did it, unfortunately, he was leaving us, but this right here is like he's still here with us today and in our hearts. So he lives on through all of us and through all the community and his fans.
Yeah. That hit me harder than I thought it was going to. And then just hearing all the players talk about DT and what he meant and how good of a, not just a player. I mean, we know how good of a player he was, but just a good human, just a great guy. That's a tough one, Mike. That's tough. So good for her being able to talk a little bit about it. But yeah, saying that smile took me through some very hard times. And that was one thing you always notice with Demaryius Thomas, dude. That smile, like, lightened people up.
Did you see there was a part of, there was a second tweet that Romy Beaton had sent, and it was where she was touching the face of Demaryius Thomas on that little thing, and the crowd at some point just went silent, as if everybody kind of felt the way she felt. It was just, it was a beautiful moment.
The Broncos honored him such a great way. They did such a great job with that. And got the win, you know, to honor him, too. I know some people like to get into, oh, Demaryius Thomas was looking down on this team. Well, if he was, that was cool, because you got to feel like a lot of those guys, none of those guys were on the roster with DT, but they could feel that. And then being around all those Super Bowl 50 dudes that were around DT, you know, they could feel that too. So, special weekend, and you got the win out of the deal. Were you? Did you check out? I mean, you. I know you're never going to turn off the game, but did you? You didn't really believe they were going to pull that off.
Of course, I did.
No, come on.
You should read my little tweet thread with this Kansas City Chiefs guy.
Did you tweet?
Game's still going.
Did you tweet? You tweeted?
No. Oh. Text thread.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, no, put it on Twitter. Put it on your X account. We need to see more of that. You have three tweets.
I don't know how to do that.
You need to get it after.
I don't want to put forth the effort.
No, this was a crazy game.
I was so mad in the first half.
What were the Giants doing throwing that ball on third down, though? I mean, yeah, they're still...
They were making a Giants decision, because how Giants of the... This is why they're not that successful of a franchise anymore, because they make decisions like that.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos still could have maybe won. I mean, it still could have worked out that way. But you basically say, okay, we're going to throw it. And not only do you throw it, but you still have timeouts left. So I thought this was insane, man. I mean, you get down to it. And Denver's calling timeouts, I believe, right? Yeah, they were calling them. No, weren't they calling them at that point? Yeah, that was when they were calling their timeouts.
Yeah, they were out of timeouts by at least the 3-minute mark.
Yeah, but they had one left. They were going to use them all on that possession. So the Giants get the ball. They run it up the middle with Scadabo, and the Broncos call a timeout. Then they run it again, a 3-yard run. Broncos call a timeout. 5 minutes left in the game. If you run it again, then you get the – maybe you pick up the first down. But if you don't, you force them to use that final timeout. Instead, not only is it not a completed pass, it's intercepted by Justin Sternad at the Giants' 40-yard line, and he took that to the Giants' 19. And four plays later, the Broncos punched it in. Got the touchdown. Also, extra point was good, and that was an issue for the Giants yesterday. Then they need to get the 3-and-out. They got the 3-and-out from the Giants. I saw Sean Payton talking to Vance Joseph, saying, "All right, we got the touchdown," because they didn't use the timeout on that on the offense, Mike. They used it on, was it second down? Yeah, they used it. It was a 2-yard run from Scadabo, and the Broncos called their final timeout. And then the Giants threw it again. So, I mean, there was 2:56 left on the clock at that point. If you run it, you can take it close to the 2-minute warning. You wouldn't get to that, but you run it, you're going to take a couple seconds off on the run, and then you get that play down to a little bit north, maybe 10 seconds north of the 2-minute warning. Instead, incompletion, they punt it. Broncos march back down again, score. And then the Giants scored. Then I thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. And then they missed the extra point, and the Broncos have 37 seconds left. Those 37 seconds, Mike, were crucial. If you run the ball on that sequence when they use two timeouts instead of throwing the interception, you force them to use that timeout. then the Broncos wouldn't be able to call their final timeout on the three and out possession. So it was just a very strange situation. And then when you throw the incomplete pass as well, because Denver calls it with 3 minutes left. If you would have ran the ball instead of throwing the interception or throwing it, you could have let that clock go down. You forced Denver to call that timeout. And then they don't have that extra. It was bad. This was bad. You threw it two times when you shouldn't have thrown it. And that might have been the 37 seconds, Mike. Those two throws, at least one of that might have been 37 seconds.
Maybe exactly. Why, like, if you're going to throw it, why not throw a screen pass?
Yeah, do something that's like a sure completion so the clock will run, or in the first sequence, you make them use that timeout. Because even after the Broncos scored after the interception, I saw Sean Payton looking at Vance Joseph, and he held up the threes. Like, we're going to call it on third down or right before third down. And they did, and the Giants threw the ball the next play.
Why don't, like...
You could have ran down 37 seconds of time.
Right, I know there. Cam Scadaboo only had like 60 yards. It felt like he had a lot
it
more.
It did feel like he had a lot more, yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those, you had like five Broncos tackle him for 2 yards and then 1 yard, and then he'd break out for 14. He had more success in the second half when the Broncos were a little more tired. But
yeah.
They handled him quite... Just hand the ball to him. They should have run him more.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
How Giants
but
them.
I mean like seriously though, Mike, that 37 seconds, two of those passes, you take two of those passes, those late, the interception and then the one where they threw it and it was incomplete and they had to punt it three and out. If you ran it both times there, Denver would have used the timeout and you would have ran clock off the next time, and that would have been the 37 seconds, and that's what all the Broncos needed to get into field goal range and win the game. If I'm a Giants fan, I'm losing my mind. Bad clock management by Dable and the New York football Giants.
I think he's still in the blue tent.
Yeah. Aaron texting, and I found myself watching a lot of New York Giants fans melt down after that game. I expect that's how most Broncos fans felt they would be reacting to the game at the 10-minute mark of the fourth. Yeah. I was expecting to come in here, Mike, and talk about a Broncos team that I have now lost faith in. That I'm going to say now they're 4-3 and they lose to the Giants at home. Then you got a Cowboys team that's up and down. Suddenly that game becomes a concern. But instead you pull it off and you're 5-2. And not to mention, Mike, at this stage, I believe they are... I think they're at the top of the AFC West. Yeah, they are. All alone. They're at 5-2. The Chargers are 4-3. The Chiefs are 4-3. The Chargers are decimated by injuries, man. Chargers are 4-3. So the Broncos are number one in the AFC West. Michael, if the playoffs were to start today, we can do that now, right? You said we could after the Giants game?
No, it's after. You have to get about eight games through. So how many games are we?
Seven.
Okay, it's got to be next week.
If the playoffs were to start today... The Broncos would be third. They'd get the third seed. Now, and the Patriots are tied with them, but they would win the tiebreaker over Denver based on strength of victory. Okay, and I know. A lot still needs to happen. But
and also the Broncos have lost their one and only division playoff. Division game.
Game.
You're the Chargers, who are decimated by injuries and look like vials of urine yesterday.
That's interesting.
Those uniforms were terrible. Who designed those?
I don't know. You were group texting us about uniforms. I'm like, we're talking about uniforms. I'm talking, not the game. We're talking about uniforms. I don't know.
I was texting other people about football and you guys about uniforms. Speaking of bad uniforms, the Cleveland Browns.
The Broncos are... a 3.5-point favorite, at least today, over the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys are 500. They lost to the Panthers, and then they whooped up on Washington. Washington has their own issues for sure. But what a wild weekend it was, Mike. In Denver, maybe that's the game of the year right there. after such a boring Jet. Are you concerned, though, after the Jets game was pretty bad offensively? You won, and then most of the Giants game was pretty bad offensively. Or do you look at it glass half full and say, the offense finally woke up?
I mean, you could have said that about the Eagles game. Oh, the offense finally woke up after three periods of mediocrity.
Yeah. Maybe.
In the last three games, you have two quarters of great offense, and the rest of it is just sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
And it just bothers me because you have plenty of talent. You have plenty of talent.
I think
so.
And
you shouldn't be one of the worst teams on third down. You shouldn't. It's really upsetting.
It has me alarmed. You won the game when you shouldn't have won. Sometimes that can spark something. You stole a victory, and it felt like two others were stolen from you, but by kind of your own doing. Well, one of them was leverage. That was dumb because it happened to the Broncos too. But you're right. Like Denver's third down efficiency, not like the Giants were much better, but Denver was 4 of 13 on third down. And just, again, special teams has been an issue. You got R.J. Harvey. A ball's clearly going to roll out of bounds and put you at the 40 on one of those early possessions. And R.J. goes to get it and gets tackled shortly after that, and you have bad field position. So just a lot of bad things. And then suddenly a fourth quarter, mile-high magic, all that stuff. Eastside Chris says, Brady, two losses on buzzer-beater kicks, or maybe 7-0. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice right now? Two games you felt like, and look at how good the Colts are now. The Chargers are good when they're healthy. They're getting a lot of injuries. Faith says the Chargers did look like the Savannah Bananas, though. Yeah, I'm not for those uniforms.
The CBS score guy actually mentioned that. He actually said, and the Savannah Bananas, I mean the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weekend, Mike. Great for the Broncos. Bad for Jay Norvell. I got to say this, though. I just tweeted this out. I've seen a lot of coaches, when they get fired, they kind of scrub their account. Remember Ed McCaffrey scrubbed his social media account of all things?
I don't remember that. He scrubbed it.
Of all UNC things? Even, like, congratulations to a lot of the young men that he recruited. He got rid of everything. He washed it away. I just saw this from Jay Norvell. He didn't put out, like, a... Lucky Joe's, shout out to Lucky Joe's in Fort Collins... They tweeted out, thank you, Coach Jay Norvell, for so many things. And then they took a picture of after they won the border war and they came back to celebrate at Lucky Joe's. And it's a picture of Jay Norvell holding the football up. They put out, this night, the one in the picture, was probably one of the most legendary blanking nights in Lucky Joe's history. Love you. Let's go to Ireland. Jay responded and said, what an awesome night. Good luck, boys. Bring the boot back to Lucky Joe's. Count me in on the trip to Ireland. Yeah, and that's... Jay, stop! You're killing me, man. That's what makes it more difficult. Yes, I said he was on the hot seat. Yes, I've said for 3 weeks now it's probably best to move on from Jay Norvell. It is what it... I'm talking win and loss. That's it. Jay was always great on this show. Really loved having him on. He was a energetic guy out there at practice. He didn't have to come on this show. They have a flagship radio station. He didn't have to do this, but he would do it. You know, we talked to him quite a bit. And so I'll root for the guy. I think he's a good football mind. It just didn't work out. There were a lot of weird decisions and a lot of interesting games for him over the years. And he got by. He got away with a lot of that last year with a rough schedule. But that's it. Time to move on. And that's what CSU is doing. 29 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire for Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Breaking news from Big City Roadhouse. They are now serving breakfast burritos every day from 10 a.m. to noon. Just another reason you guys got to stop by. Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. I recommend so far on the menu, the tavern-style pizza is delicious. They got those little tiny pepperonis on there. The burger is delicious. The wings are amazing. My mouth's watering just talking about it. Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. I'll read a couple of texts here. This one from the 970. I got to think the obvious differences between Timmy Chang and Hawaii's success with Norvell and CSU's multiple years of stagnation didn't help. Yeah, I do agree with Kevin. Like, the Hawaii game wasn't the last straw. I've seen the theory online that it's believed that maybe they'd already made their decision, but after the Fresno State win, it was kind of a, well, let's see if he can get this thing rolling. But I have to imagine that the decision was already made. I mean, Mike, after the UNC game, I would imagine John Weber and Amy Parsons and all the staff, Sidwell, all of them, sat down and were like, guys, this is rough. He was already on the hot seat. This is a hot seat year. He's already in a tough spot. I mean, and UNC's proven to be a lot better than I think a lot of people thought, but it's still an FCS team. And so my guess would be they were sitting down talking about the conversations were going on in the offseason too. The conversations were going on last year too. But then you get into conference play and you rolled. You win 8 games. And you don't have to do anything, so it's more of a, all right, well, we all kind of agree. He's got 2 years left on his contract. Let's make next year be the put up or shut up for Jay Norvell. So I think the understanding was positive season this year, 8 to 9 wins. Yeah, sure. We're going to extend Jay Norvell. He proved he could do it. Tougher schedule now. But once they got into it, that was a win against UNC, counts as a win. Then the UTSA game happened, and that was when Braden Fowler-Nicolosi was pulled. I bet, and I don't know this, but the conversation probably went, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We move on, and then Washington State happens, and you're going, but I am a little shocked that it didn't happen after that. After the Washington State game, or even the San Diego State game. If it was going to happen, you know, you lose to San Diego State 45-24. You lost to Washington State, who's actually pretty bad for a moment. You lost to them 20-3, and the offense just looked miserable. And Washington State, you know, they gave Ole Miss a game. They gave Virginia a game. So maybe some of those things were coming into play. But then you beat Fresno State 49-21, you can't fire him after that. And then, of course, you see the homecoming game against Hawaii. And yeah, that's a good text. We talked about Timmy Chang. Like, Hawaii is 6-2. They're 3-1 in the conference. They have a realistic shot to get into the Mountain West Championship game. And you see what he's able to kind of turn around there. They're already at 6 wins, and it was a struggle, you know, for Jay to get to, kind of a struggle to get to 8, I guess, given the non-conference schedule was so bad, and then what you did in a weaker schedule in your conference last year was pretty good. You took care of bad teams, but it just felt like honestly it was a matter of when they were going to do it. Is it weird that you'd fire him right before the border war? Or do you think that gives you your... It's kind of like when the Nuggets fired Michael Malone. They clearly felt that Michael Malone had gotten so bad that their chances of avoiding a play-in spot in the playoffs decreased or increased, I guess, avoiding, if they moved on from Malone. He had lost the guys that much. Maybe this is an important game for them. Like, this is the most important game now for the Rams, as they're 2-5 and, you know, what do they have, 5 games remaining? I guess they felt like maybe this is where this gives us our best chance to go to Wyoming and have Tyson Summers try to capture some of that interim coach magic that we see sometimes. Because, I mean, Michael, I think you and I were talking, like, you were saying, oh, they're checked out, it's over. Yeah, but this game means a lot. And it's a bragging thing, you know, and being able to keep the boot in Fort Collins is a big deal, no matter who's the coach or no matter who's going to be the coach next year, because I think we all kind of agree this is just a stopgap for Tyson Summers. He's just going to fill the void. I mean, even if they go, let's say CSU wins out. Yeah, then it's realistic. You're having a conversation about Summers, but that's not very realistic. It's still the same roster. 40 minutes after the hour, Michael, we'll take a short break here. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
You look perplexed back there. Are you okay?
I'm always perplexed.
You looked very perplexed. I was worried about you for a moment.
I'm contemplating many things at once.
I'm contemplating that interference call, that bogus interference call they called on Riley Moss. That was a terrible call.
I sometimes don't understand what pass interference is.
He was barely making contact, and then he turns his head. They always say, if you turn your head to try to make a play on the ball, it's not going to be pass interference 9 times out of 10. But then Sean Payton runs down and gets another penalty call. I thought, ugh, the game's going to be over now. But the Broncos had other plans. Jay Norvell will be remembered for a lot, I think, with Colorado State. And Buffs fans are using this as, yeah, this is what he said about Coach Prime. I actually thought it made that game much more interesting. Remember this, Mike? Here's Jay Norvell on Coach Prime.
And I sat down with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught. So,
and of course, Coach Prime took that as, you were saying my mom was bad. It's a phrase. You know, I thought it made the game way more interesting. Remember, I actually even went into conspiracy mode. I'm like, maybe to get this game more juice, this was something between the coaches, and they were going to fire it up. You know, that's not the case, because the coach, I don't think they're fond of each other. I don't think Coach Prime is texting Jay Norvell saying, hey, good luck, man. I hope you're doing okay. But I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun with that.
I hope Prime's sunglasses are prescription.
Why?
I mean, because then he can say, well, I don't take off my glasses to talk to the media because I want to be able to see people. Hmm.
No, he instead went the route of, he was talking about my mom and, you know, did shake Jay's hand. I think he shook Jay's hand, but it was more of a, Jay said, hey, man, I wasn't talking about your mom. And Coach Prime said, yes, you were. No. That was one of the things, though, that Jay will be remembered for. Also, they had the Hail Mary. The Holy Hulker. You know, Dallin Hulker, and they beat Boise State. That was a big one. But not a lot of, and then they got their rivalry wins. You know, they beat Wyoming and they beat Air Force last year. I wish them well. It just didn't work out. 48 minutes after the hour, Michael, what did we learn on the show today? Coming up next.
From preps to college to the pros.
We have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
All right, what did we learn on this 20th day of October? Well, we learned Colorado State did, in fact, move on from Jay Norvell. Tyson Summers will take over as the interim head coach. And Grant Chestnut will serve as Colorado State's offensive coordinator now. So Matt Mummy will still be the pass game coordinator, I guess, but not calling plays. So snip, snap. Again, how did that conversation go, I wonder? We learned that the Broncos, don't count them out. Don't count them out. They found a way. Now can they follow up with that performance against Dallas? Maybe not wait so long to get the offense going. Michael, what did you learn today, my friend?
Well, I was just thinking just now.
Yeah, you were.
He wasn't talking about Sanders' mom.
Okay.
He was talking about Mummy. I'm sorry, that joke went really bad.
Wow. I don't even
I apologize to everybody.
That's what we're ending with what you learned today, a botched...
Ruined the entire show.
A botched pun that didn't... I'm not connecting the dots there.
I think I threw it twice instead of giving the ball to Scataboo.
Yeah. Scataboo.
I have a video
the
of
more
him saying
you
his own
say
name.
It like that, the more I want to say it the other way.
Because
I've heard it both ways.
Fandango.
Okay, that's going to do it for us, thank goodness, as we end on that terrible, terrible note. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
And I apologize again.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.